And so at this time, Jen and Gabe Moore.
All right, thank you. We got two here. I have two different mics. We got 2 miles up here, so we need 2 mics.
So good morning. It's situated here.
How's everybody doing today? Are you blessed? Are you blessed and highly favored? All right, good.
All right, so today we are talking about stewardship. And so before we get started, we would like to pray over you all in the message this morning. So, Father God, we just thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word and your teaching, Lord. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit come and teach each one of us, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for getting it from our head to our heart and just bringing it on down, even in through the week, Lord, and allowing it to settle into our spirits and grow us in you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, last week, Apostle talked a little bit about stewardship. She kind of touched into it and tithing and giving and having a giving heart. We're gonna go a little bit deeper in that. That's our mission this year. You know, we want to reach higher. We want to go deeper. We want to grow stronger. So we're going to get a little bit deeper into stewardship. I'm in sales. And so, you know, one of the dangers of being in sales is overselling a product, right? You want to push it, but you don't want to go too far, right? Because you have to deliver on that promise. Well, stewardship is one of those things that cannot be oversold, okay? The words, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you want to hear that? I want to hear that. Man, that's just the crossing the finish line. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well, in order to hear that, we have to understand what it means to be a steward. And not just a steward, but what it means to be a good steward, to be a godly steward. What does God want from us as stewards? If we get into the word stewardship, Strong's Concordance says G3622, it's oikonomia. Okay, transliterated from the Greek, it's where we get the word economy, but it's two different words. It's oikos, which is our household, and nomia, which is dispensation or management of. So it's the management of a household. More in specific, up here, it's the management of resources which belong to another. So it's not just the management of our household, but it's the management of another's households, another's goods and services. So in one regard or another, every one of us sitting here is a steward of something. Okay? We are either a steward of our body or we're a steward of our home. Or we're steward of our business or our job. We are all stewards of something. So we want to get into what it means to be a good steward.
Okay, so stewards of what? All of the possessions of the earth and those gifts and talents which he has placed within us in the natural and the spiritual perspective. So in the natural, your house, your car, your body, your family, your church, your job, even your relationships. They're all things that we are stewards of. God uses the physical things of this earth and the world system to test, train, and prepare us for our eternal purpose of ruling and reigning in this coming kingdom. God also is concerned with the non-physical things, such as our spiritual gifts, and how we develop them to help expand the kingdom of God here on earth. So, are we increasing in faith or decreasing? Are we increasing in discerning the Holy Spirit or decreasing in discernment? So, God expects us to be producers, people with fruit.
The best story in the Bible, in the New Testament, is in Matthew. Chapter 25, it's the parable of the talents, and I'm just going to read through this. This is a great example of what God expects, because it's a great comparison of a good steward and a bad steward. And yes, if you didn't notice, I spilled water on myself, so I'm just going to wipe that off now. So I'm going to read. If you want to follow along, we're in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom be... Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 14 is where it starts. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability, that he went on his journey. Straightway he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them. He made other 5 talents. In like manner, also he also that received the 2 gained other 2. But he that receiveth the 1 went away and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. Now after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them, and he received the 5 talents and came and bought another 5 talents, saying, The Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, I have gained another 5 talents. So he brought to him, he says, Look what I've done with what you gave me. And the Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will set you over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. To hear that, that means you did it, right? And he that also received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, I have gained another 2 talents. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So there we have the examples of what God expects from a good steward, okay? From a good servant, he expects you to take what he has given you, what he has provided you, what he has given you access to, and he expects you to grow it, okay? He expects to see fruit all throughout the New Testament. You know, you get a lot of people nowadays that want to say, they want to take Jesus, 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 and turn him into some socialist. You know, when you get into politics of it, you want to take Jesus that capitalism is bad. But everything about the New Testament says growing, says trading, says increasing, says taking what you have, utilizing it, leveraging it, and making more of it. Jesus, when he ran into a fig tree that produced no fruit, what did he do with it? Cursed it. Burned that thing. That's how serious Jesus is about taking what you have and making something more of it. That he would take a tree that wasn't producing fruit and curse it. Okay? This is important to understand our obligations as stewards and what we're supposed to do with it. So going on, so he just said, Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. He goes to the third steward. And he also that receiveth 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering while thou didst not scatter. I was afraid, and went away, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. I hope I don't hear those words. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money in the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he shall have be taken away. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And see, this is why I began with, I cannot oversell the importance of being a good steward. Because that is literally the difference. It is kingdom versus damnation. It is eternity versus hell. Good steward, bad steward. Okay? I can't oversell the importance of understanding what God expects from us as stewards.
So we're going to go into stewardship versus ownership. The principle of scarcity versus plenty. Based upon scarcity and fear, there are insufficient goods and services to go around. Based on the principle of abundance and more than enough. So the world would convince us that there will never be enough to meet our need. But God says otherwise. We must renew our minds and adopt the kingdom principles. So Romans 12:2 states, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when the apostles had a need to feed the thousands, Jesus simply tapped into the storehouse of heaven for the necessary provision. So also when Elijah asked the widow for the bread, God multiplied to meet the need.
Amen. So he's always going to be there to deliver. There's no reason to fear that you're going to run out. Now, there's a lot of pressures that you're going to deal with. You know, the world is like a pressure cooker. It's an oven. It's always wanting to push us to and fro, wants us to direct us to a certain path, you know. It really wants, the world in itself really wants to pound in the ideal of lack, okay? The ideal of the fear that you're going to run out, okay? The fear that things are going to be wrong. Anybody here ever hear the saying, no news is good news? You know, you see that displayed every day. You just watch the news, or fake news, if that's what you want to call it. You watch it for even a few minutes, and all you're going to see is, you know, drama and tumult and strife and murder and depression. There's a reason for that. The world is pushing us down, wants us to get rid of the teaching. You know the story, Fear is a Liar, or the song, Fear is a Liar. It's so true. You know, Satan, he's the father of lies. That's what he's been called, the father of lies. Okay? They really want to convince you that if you own everything and you're going to lose it. You're always on the edge of losing it. Because if they can do that, okay, if they can talk us into understanding that everything is mine, okay, this is mine, all right? That belongs to me. If they can get us down, base us down to a two-year-old level and say everything is ours, they'll prevent us from giving. Okay? They'll talk us out of being givers. And if they talk us out of being givers, what do? To our stewardship. You see what's happening? They cut that blessing off right at the gate. So there's a motive when the world wants to beat you down and the world wants to talk you out of being a giver. They want to put that. But the reality is, you know, we're stewards of God's property, okay? So lack has nothing to do with it, right? That's not in his vocabulary, all right? He does not know what it's like to run out of stuff, okay? I mean, that's the reality of it. We have, as sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, we have access to the King's treasures, all right? We have a way in. We've got a key to the door, okay? Anybody have keys to their parents' house still? I've got them. You can walk in at any time, you know, you just show up, walk in, open the fridge, start eating stuff. I don't know if I'd recommend doing that all the time, but that's what we have. That's the reality of it. We have access to the throne room, okay? Because we're blood-bought sons and daughters of the King, all right? So we can't cave to the pressures of the world. Before we really became... Jen and I, when we were married, we didn't start out as Christians. I was raised by a Christian mother, a not so Christian dad. He's saved now. Don't worry. But when we were first married, we really weren't walking with the Lord, and it was amazing how much struggle that we had when we tried to do it the world's way. Have you ever been there, where you just you felt like you were always holding back a wall of marbles, that you could never contain every one of them, and every time you pushed in one area, another area flooded around you. Once we started walking with the Lord, once we committed ourselves, and that was right after our first child was born, was when we really got serious, and we thought, you know, we cannot raise our children outside of the church. It's too important, too much to stake. But once we took that on, man, things just changed. They turned around. It was like a light switch. Right?
Yes.
Amen.
There's one thing I wanted, the Holy Spirit really wanted me to share, is recently in June, the Lord has provided us a new home with lots of property, and we are totally blessed and highly favored with that. But when we first purchased the home, I was so excited. I'm still so excited. I absolutely love this home. But in my spirit, I was fearful of losing the peace that I have there. And I know God had given us that because we are in a season that he wants to pour his peace out over us and over each one of you. But we have to receive that. We have to receive that from the Lord. But I know I was, we end up having an open house, and I was actually talking to Apostle Janet, and I was like, you know, I just hope we never move from here because I don't want to move from the peace, and I don't want to lose the peace. And right then, the Lord is like, are you kidding me? But it was in my spirit to want to grab hold of that as though I could just lose it. But we never lose his peace because just like we had sang today, he is always right there standing next to us. We lose nothing. If we feel that we lose something, it's because our eyes are not on him. So I just want to share that. So moving on, stewardship is not having a poverty mentality. So we must have the right heart attitude when it comes to possessions. So that's why the Holy Spirit wanted me to teach on that. We don't give to get, but we are being good stewards and managing God's resources properly. The blessings will be evident in the way we live. So Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment.
It's that simple. If you're doing your job, the blessings are just going to, they're just going to come. Okay. If you're managing what God's given you properly, you will be blessed. You will have fruit to show for it. So principles of stewardship, the principle of use it or lose it. So we can't be afraid, just kind of expounding on what Jen shared, we cannot be afraid of losing what God has given us since his supply is unlimited. Yeah, you know, the wicked and lazy servant, he was afraid that if he took a risk, if he stepped out and he lost it, that he'd be a failure. That's what he was afraid of, and that fear froze him. It was like the deer in the headlights. It's kind of like I feel right now. Light, right here. You're deer in the headlights. Yeah. If you've never stood up here, you don't understand. I think everyone should at some point in time rotate up here and have to give maybe a 5 minute, you know? I think that'd be a great exercise.
We have a prayer line coming up around here and just stand here.
They'll have a whole different appreciation. But you know, he was frozen. He was frozen with fear. You know? Have you ever... But it was ridiculous to think about. It was not his goods that he was given. He was given it from the master. So he shouldn't have had it. Have you ever been walking down the street and be afraid you're going to run out of oxygen? Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Just kind of, better be careful. Might use all that up. Might run out here. No, come on. That's ridiculous. Okay? So as sons and daughters, as managers of what belongs to God, we cannot be afraid to run out. Okay, that's the biggest string that will keep you from the blessing of being a joyful giver. Because you can give, you can count the pennies and say, okay, I got enough. I can put a little bit in, but I better watch the budget this week. And not get the blessing, okay? Jesus called out the Pharisees about them. They're counting the money. They're counting the pennies. But they've stepped over the weightier matters, you know. They missed the blessing because although they were meeting the giving, they weren't meeting it with the right attitude. They were counting the pennies, okay. They were worried that if we give a little too much, we're going to give what we have to give. But if we give a little too much, we might run out, okay. We really have to fight that ideal of losing what God has given us, okay. Because we can't lose what he's given us. There's an infinite supply. You're not going to run out of air. If you trust in God, you are not going to run out of blessing. Okay? That's very important. The principle of multiplication. If you obey and you receive more based on spiritual principle of multiplication. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. Okay, this is important to understand. God's watching how you behave with the little things in life. Okay? God's always seeing and testing you and putting you to things to see how you're going to deal with this. How are you going to handle this? Okay? It's one of those things, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? think about that one the rest of the day. But God's always testing us. He's always watching, all right? So the principle of possessing all things. We know in our hearts, but we are but stewards and managers. Even though our name is on the mortgage or deed, God is the rightful owner. The most successful people at managing money understand that there is an acceptable level of risk, okay? They understand that in order to grow something, you must step forward, okay? You cannot have a hold it, hoard it, hang on to it attitude if you want to grow your blessing, okay? And this is not just financial. This is spiritually speaking. You know, we do classes constantly about teaching on the prophetic, about teaching, hearing the Holy Spirit. It's because if you don't practice that, if you don't understand that, if you don't always stretch that, you're never going to grow in it, right? So this is important to understand that you cannot, that you have to be creating growth. That's what He expects of you. That's part of being a good steward. Seed time and harvest. If you plant a seed, give what you have, then in due season, God's time will come back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. And Luke 6:38, that whole verse is give and it will be given to you, a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Okay, so this is like, we did a class a couple of months ago where they had a funny little saying where the farmer or the person that's not a giver is like the farmer who eats his own seed and then doesn't have a harvest to show. You know, you can't be confused when there's no fruit in your life when all you've done is consume your own seed. Okay? So the amount of which you give, the amount of which time that you spend and you invest into other people's, into sharing the gospel of God, that's going to be poured right back onto you. This goes right into never running out. You're not going to run out, okay? You're never going to run out of words to say if you're listening to the Holy Spirit. Being content. This is big. You got to be happy because it's easy to fall into the trap of the grass is greener on the other side, okay? It's very easy to look at what someone else has and then devalue what you've been given. This is important. This all ties together with being faithful in the little. If you're not content, if you're not happy where you're at, if you're groaning all the time and grumbling and, man, I wish I had big screen TV. I wish I had another car. My beady, ratty old car is not starting. Lousy job, got to get up every morning, all this. That guy over there, he's got that. If you're not content, you're being tested in the little. You're not going to be given more. So learn how to be content. Paul, specifically in Philippians 4:12, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Okay? He was all over the place. He went from being a teacher of the law to being a prisoner, to being the founder of the church as we know it today. He was at all levels, and his secret was knowing how to be content, knowing how to be abased, and knowing how to abound in some of the transcriptions. The principle of being faithful to one another, if you can't manage the resources and cause them to multiply, then why would God entrust greater riches to you? So, I don't know, you ever write a note and then you wonder what you were thinking when you wrote a note? Don't be a pencil thief. Don't be a pencil thief. I think what I was saying was you work for someone and sometimes you get a little lax and you can start to take liberties that aren't yours. Don't do that, okay? Stealing is stealing, period. And God's watching. He'll bless you. Or He won't bless you. You'll either hear, well done, good and faithful, or you'll hear, wicked and lazy servant. And you'll be like, was it the pencils? No. So don't be a pencil thief. You know, we Derek, he's on sound. He works sound for us. He works at us. He does sales for us. And he's always faithful to, and sometimes I'm like, why are you even asking me that? He's like, can I use the car to drive up here? And I'm like, yeah, of course you can. But he honors the Lord by coming and not assuming that he can just take it and just run off it. He honors the Lord by coming in and saying, hey, is this okay? So if you work for someone, honor the Lord and don't take liberties that aren't given unto you, okay? Right. principle of preparation brings provision. All right, proper preparation prevents poor performance. I always remember that. God's not going to, he's not going to just drop a bucket of gold on you if you're not ready to have that happen. Anybody watch The Lottery Ruined My Life? Anybody seen that show? You realize the devastation that most of those people end up in, the ruin, and they end up in more depression than they started before they had that. And the reason being is because an instant outpouring of wealth on someone that's not ready for it is more dangerous than remaining in poverty for your entire life. And that's the reality. You have to be prepared. Being content, being happy with what you have, managing what you have is part of preparation and being prepared. You have to be purposeful in your action. You always have to understand that you're being prepared for greater things. There are no mundane tasks, okay? Everything happens for a reason. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, everything that happens in this world happens at the time God chooses. So even when you don't understand it and it doesn't make sense to you, understand that God is in control, okay? And it's not pointless. You're going in a direction.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, is it Proverbs? That I believe it's Proverbs. I don't quite remember, but he says there is a time for everything. Ecclesiastes. Thank you.
It is in the season, if you continue on.
All right, so steps to stewardship, a process for developing stewardship, sometimes even unusual action is needed to break negative behavior patterns. So a proven teaching technique is to take actions that correspond to the new principle that we are learning. So for example, you can place post-it notes on things throughout your house with the statement, this belongs to God. This belongs to God. This belongs to God. And it just brings that mindset and shifts it to, this is all of mine. This is all to everything is the Lord's. So recognize that everything belongs to God and we are his stewards or managers. Number two, take inventory of your gifts, talents, and resources God has given you. Know what you have stewardship over. Three, use the gifts and talents entrusted to you from God. And four, begin to act on the principle of stewardship. So to be more specific, start being a good steward. Remember, it's God's resources that you are responsible for. He expects to see you expanding his kingdom. So you have been given unique abilities to make this happen. So don't place this understanding on the shelf. Each one of us have to act on it right now.
Amen. So now we just talked about first fruits. The principle of the first fruits, it's tied to being a good steward. This is all in the one teaching of being a steward. So we're just going to take a minute. We're going to read some of these scriptures that reference first fruits. If we could read together, let's read these together. It's Leviticus 23:9-10 says, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying,
speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give to you, and reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest into the priest.
Nehemiah 10:37, and that we should bring the first fruit of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priest to the chambers of the house of God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who are asleep. Romans 11:16a. And if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also. So first fruits are very important. They're ordained by God. The next slide shows, if you want to go to the next one, we're kind of going to do it backwards. Deuteronomy, Moses is spelling out what God expects from us. What is first fruit? And in Deuteronomy 26, it says, "And it shall be, when thou art come into thy land, which Jehovah thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which thou shalt bring in from thy land to Jehovah thy God and giveth thee. And thou shalt put it in a basket, and go into the place which Jehovah the God, thy God shall choose, to cause his name to dwell there. And thou shalt come to the priest, and shall in those days say unto him, I profess this day unto Jehovah thy God, that I come into the land which Jehovah swore unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of Jehovah thy God. And thou shalt answer and say before Jehovah thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And he became there a nation, great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians dwelt ill with us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And we cried unto Jehovah, the God of our fathers. And Jehovah heard our voice and saw our cry, affliction and our toil and our oppression. And Jehovah brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first of the fruit of the ground, which thou, O Jehovah, hast given me. And thou shalt set it down before Jehovah thy God, and worship there Jehovah thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in all the good which Jehovah thy God has given unto thee, and unto the house, and the Levite, and the sojourner that is in the midst of thee." Okay, so he's really told them clearly, when I break a door down, when I knock something down, when I put you forward, when I place you in a new situation, when a wall crumbles before you, this is what I expect. Okay? Because God's always moving us from place to place. God's always opening up new positions for us. And that's really what our first fruit is putting God first, is understanding that when we overcome, and if you trust in God, you will overcome. Okay? When we overcome an obstacle, the first thing we need to be doing is giving glory to God. And that's what your first fruit is. It's the prophet. When you come in, you've started, God has set you to something, and now all of a sudden it is profitable. It is giving glory to God. Okay? And he's serious about this. So serious that if we flip back, we go to Joshua 6 and 7. This is the story of when the Israelites came and they marched around the walls of Jericho. You know, God gave them very specific instruction of what to do. He said, you march around, you march around 7 days, and the seventh day, and the trumpets are going to blast, the wall's going to fall down, you're going to come in, you're going to take over this land. I'm giving it to you. I'm handing it to you. But, he said, but, let's say but.
But.
All right, but, when you take everything, all of this first fruit, all the riches from this must be offered up to me. Everything. He didn't say, just give me a few, give me a little bit, a little, go halfsies on this, right? He didn't say that. He said, give me everything. And so serious about this was he that in their next, when you get into chapter 7, and Joshua and they go on to take on the battle of Ai, they get whooped. I mean, they get smashed, you know? Totally has them running for the hills. And Joshua's freaking out, you know? He doesn't get it, because he's like, if God's with us, who can be against me, right? You know? If God's with you, and you go into a battle, and you get whooped, and you're looking behind you like, God must not be with me. What did I do? So the first thing he does, he's in prayer. He's ravished, all right? He's torn his clothes, and he's prostrate before God, and he's like, what did we do? Show me. And he says, I'll show you. And so they start marching people up. All right, come on out. Come on out. Everybody gather around. One at a time. No, you're good. No, you're good. Can you imagine being the guy at the back of the line? With the gold candlestick stuck in your back pocket, you're like, oh, they know what I did. They know what I did. But that's how serious God was, that he actually stopped them in their tracks because they did not honor his commandment to give the first fruits unto him. Okay? So when you want something to grow, if you want a new enterprise to grow, if you want a new phase of your life, give God the glory first. That's the lesson of first fruits. Give God the glory first. Amen?
this, if you just want to.
Okay. So we're going to the steps of becoming a giver. Okay, so changing behavior patterns. So this is very, very important. We all have behavior patterns, and they may not all line up. We are all learning and growing every single day. Not a single one of us has made it yet. So, A, give something away that you like. Think of something. What is something you really like? Just give it away. Ask the Lord. Is it going to someone? Are you donating it to one of the donation centers? B, perform random acts of giving. You know, what came to my mind is, you know, you're in the drive-thru, pay for someone behind you. C, buy dinner for someone. I know many times we've done this. The Lord is like that family.
We've had it done for us.
And yeah.
It's amazing. I remember the first time that happened, we were just like, I can't believe that happened. It's just wonderful to be blessed that way. So
yeah, yeah. It was an awesome, awesome blessing. I guess we typically think on who can we bless, and the Lord will 100% provide that blessing back to you. D, leave a big tip. Yes. You know, I see a lot of people, and even at times I'll calculate what would the tip be here. But God may end up saying, well, you know what, it doesn't matter what the percentage is. Give a big tip. Go above and beyond. E, give to someone you don't think needs it. I think that one can be a hard one. if you hear the Holy Spirit prompt you to give, don't allow yourself to justify whether the person deserves it or not. Just do it.
Just do it. I see the Nike symbol with the cross on it. It's like, I don't know, it might be a trademark problem, but just do it.
F, make a pledge to your local church or some worthwhile Christian organization and keep the pledge no matter what. So we just talked about that this morning. We've been talking about that for a few weeks, about our pledge for the building fund. So do that now. Pray. And what does the Lord want you to do with the pledge? Keep the pledge. When you bless this house turns right back around and blesses you. Every single time. Every single time. G, if you do not tithe, make a plan to gradually increase your giving until you are tithing on a regular basis. This actually kind of struck a chord with us on the path to our tithing. Our tithing was we didn't necessarily plan it, but it was a gradual increase as the years have gone on. We've actually been members about 14 years now of this church, and I wouldn't change it for anything. We've been completely blessed with the teachings and the insight and the impartations that have been given through every class, through every sermon, and through everything that we've been involved in. But our tithing started. We had Maya, and I think Connor. Maya was 2. Connor was almost 1 when we started coming. And really, where we started was, what change did we have in our pocket? I mean, literally, like coins. You know, I'm assuming Gabe at some point in his upbringing would have had the teaching on what tithe was. I didn't. I did not grow up in the church. So I did not have that teaching. I gradually learned that as the teachings and things that I placed and God had placed me in to grow and understand the understanding of what the tithe should be. But as we gradually increased our tithe, it went from pennies to a few dollars, to $10, to $20, or what have you. But it kept continuing being what we had left. you know, we would pay the bills and we would, you know, get the gas money put off to the side. And whatever was left, then we paid. But and really, the Lord meets you right where you're at. You know, in our heart, we were still giving. We were still giving to the Lord. But,
say but. There's more.
The moment that we came fully in covenant and were giving 10% of our gross before taxes, a dramatic shift happened for us.
Say shift. Shift. Shift, yes.
So at that point, we had a house, our very first home that we purchased. It had two mortgages on it. And we would go to the bank, and the bank experts said we would never sell for enough to cover those costs of those two mortgages. But really, when the shift happened, God not only sold that home, and he sold it over what we owed. He also gave us the opportunity to own our business. So as you are fully in covenant with the Lord, there are going to be doors that you don't even know that are there that will swing wide open. Like, we had no idea that we would own a business. Like, had no clue. Like, we had not a clue that that was our portion. But also, even owning the business that was fulfilled, and also the new home that I had talked about, he opened the opportunity for us to move back to South Bend. We had lived here for 5 years in Elkhart, and he had mentioned that our time was finished living here, and moved us back to South Bend, which was closer to work for us. We were traveling one way 40 minutes, and now it's one way about a little over 20 minutes. So we were totally thankful for that, and not having to drive as much. And he just wanted to pour his blessings out. I mean, I love that. I mean, we freely receive every single blessing because we want to turn around and pour it back onto him.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just really important that you can kind of be stepping into treacherous territory when you start saying just gradually, you start promoting a message that's contrary to the word. Because in Malachi 3:8, it says, you're robbing me. Do not rob God. He literally says, will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. And they're like, how have we robbed you? How have we robbed you, God? How did we steal you? And he says, in tithes and offering. So when you're not giving 10% of tithe, you're robbing God. And we share the path that we took little by little, step by step, not because we want you to rob God or to rob God a little less. Because face it, that's the reality. If you're not tithing 10%, maybe you're moving forward, and I'm pragmatic about that, that if that's better than nothing, it's better than going backwards. But let's face it, if you're just doing a little at a time and moving forward, that you're just robbing God a little bit less. Okay? So you really want to reach that 10%. And it was such an important shift for us, how much it happened. How much it happened. You know, this is the path we took, but I was like, it was kind of like having a turtle and a string and pulling a tooth out with a turtle, you know. It got it done. It worked for us. It got us where we needed to go, but it took a lot longer and a lot more pain than really needed to happen. Have faith that God will deliver you. Have faith that when you step out and you trust what he says and you do what he commands you, that you will not lack anything, okay? So that's the biggest message. If you have to do it a little at a time, you know, pray with God. He wants a cheerful giver. He wants you to give not because you're forced to, but because you have joy in your heart and you love to. But trust what he says also. He will bless you, and he's done it for us, and you know, we've proven that. The benefits of stewardship. Abundance is a principle of economics in the kingdom of God. Okay? Stewardship, it's the management of this abundance. So in reality, We don't get more except that our faithfulness and stewardship produces more anointing and authority in the kingdom. Therefore, we receive gifts and talents to use to bless others. Okay? So, in closing, being a steward is all about being a faithful servant of the Lord God Almighty. Okay? It's just about being a servant. You say, use me, Lord. Use me. That's all I ask. I never ask to stand up here and speak to people. In fact, when I see apostle coming, I sometimes find myself going, I never ask that. But what I have asked is, God, use me. So be careful. Because when you ask God to use you, sometimes you get what you ask for. Okay, so it's an offering up of everything we've been entrusted to so that we can see the kingdom expand and what's been written can be fulfilled. Just like how the Sabbath wasn't created for God, okay, but for man, good stewardship is a principle that when exercised well, will in turn fulfill all of our own needs. Okay, God wants what's best for you. God, He didn't design you to carry the world, okay? We were driving in, and Jen was listening to the president do the lighting of the Christmas tree. She was listening to that.
So I
couldn't help but think, and no matter where you stand on President Trump, in my mind I'm thinking, we have a guy that he's been divorced, married several times. He's got a storied history of being, you know, a philanderer, a shrewd businessman. I mean, just hardcore. And here he's preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And I'm like, who does he? And for a second here, I have to admit, I'm thinking, this guy's not qualified to talk about Jesus. But then the Lord spoke to me, says, neither are you. He said, neither are you. Because the fact of the matter is, None of us are qualified. None of us are qualified. But that doesn't mean you're not called. Okay? So don't... See, I get choked up. When it gets deep, I get choked up. And Dad used to make fun of me for it. But I consider it a strength because, you know, it's not a weakness. Don't disqualify yourself from the ministry. Okay? It's important that you understand that Jesus was sent for a reason, okay? It is important that you understand that God loves you so much that He would take the unqualified, the unjustified, the unrighteous mammon, the worthless people, so the world would say, and He would raise them up to use them to expand His kingdom. That's how much He loves you. He loves you so much He sent His Son down to walk with us and to be a living sacrifice so that we can have the opportunity to be with Him. Okay? He split the veil, so don't sew it back up. Amen? He opened it. He opened the access so that you can come in. If you find yourself thinking and saying to yourself, I'm not qualified. I don't think I can be this good steward. God, I don't think I'm the servant. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I've said. Yes, He does. He will use the unqualified to glorify His name. Amen? So don't talk yourself out of this. And if you haven't started that relationship with Jesus, don't put it off. Don't put it off. It's a walk that when you walk it, it's the red pill. Anybody see The Matrix? You see those movies? It's the red pill that as soon as you step with Jesus and you start walking, the veil is uncovered and it's lifted and you start to see things and you start to walk and you start to do things that you never thought were possible. Okay? Being a good steward, like I said, you cannot oversell the point of being a good steward and the importance of managing the things that God gives you well. Okay, so if there was anything I could say, please accept Jesus Christ in your heart. You know, after service, we'll have people, we'll have elders forward here that are willing to pray, willing to walk you through it if you haven't done that. It's been a while since you've taken it seriously, if it's been a while since you've really committed yourself, and we have to do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. We have to refresh our souls sometimes. Yeah. You get stale. You know, you leave bread out on the counter too long, it's no good, all right? So you get stale sometimes. If you need to refresh yourself, please come up for prayer. So at this time, we just want to close. Father God, we just thank you for blessing us, God. We just thank you for getting in our hearts and our minds the understanding of what you expect of us, Lord. We just thank you that everything belongs to you, Lord. And we just ask that you would use us to glorify your name, Lord. We just thank you for implanting this teaching in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds. And we just thank you for everything that you provide us. In the name of your Lord and Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.